Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Lord, again, as we open the scripture, we trust you that this word should be life to us and this word should be food for our soul. Lord, we need it, and we pray that you administer and keep us from all the distractions that are so many to attend to what you speak. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our journey in John's Gospel is continuing, and we're kind of in the middle of something. We couldn't cover everything in the section that we're looking at last week, so we kind of stopped in the middle. But you will remember the key verse last time, which of course you will have committed to memory. And I will help you to remember it. Who would like to recite it for me? Oh, a forest of hands. This is something that should be remembered. It's worth remembering. Store it away. Some of you know it, I know. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst forever. John 6, 35. So that's the scripture that we remembered last time. We tried to remember last time. Because what happened last time was the Lord fed the 5,000 people. Plus, it says women and children, more than 5,000 people. And this was a sign. And when that sign was given, the people pursued the Lord. And, remember, he crossed over the lake, and the people said, "How did you come here?" They wanted to see him. But he said, "You're seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." And the sign when he fed the 5,000 was that he is the Messiah. He is the Saviour of the world. He is the one that can give life. But what they were attracted by was free food. And we see this today as well. So what was the meaning of the sign? The meaning of the sign was, in those words, he was saying, "I am the bread of life." He fed the people. Remember, it was a desolate place. There was no way they could obtain food. The people were hungry. They needed to be fed. And his heart was to feed them. The disciples said, "Send them away." But the Lord wanted to feed them. Take note of that. If you're spiritually hungry, there is one who is willing and ready and desiring that you should be fed. And that is the Lord Jesus. And so the sign was that he could meet every need. He is the bread of life. He is the essential food that not only maintains life, but it brings life. It gives life. He is the bread of life. He is life. And this parallel statement we saw, and we'll see more of these, one statement followed by another, and they're parallel, and they inform each other. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And we can see from that, because they're parallel statements, that to come to him is to believe in him. And to believe in him means to come to him. We can't have belief without coming. We can't have coming without belief. There has to be this personal response to the Lord, that you come to him It's something you do alone, by yourself. You come to him. That is believing in him. So this is what the Lord has said. And in saying that we should never hunger or never thirst, he's saying for every need, in every situation, he is sufficient. He cannot fail. Nothing is too much for him. He doesn't lack wisdom. He has eternal wisdom. No situation is beyond him. Therefore, when you come to him, when you trust in him, when you are led by him, when he is your shepherd, when he is the one guiding your life and influencing your choices, your decisions, he is sufficient for every situation and every need. Well, we need to backtrack a little bit, but not very much. So we're going to read from verse 28 on John chapter 6. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." You see, the Pharisees at that time had taught the people that when the Messiah comes, he'll do what Moses did and provide bread in the wilderness. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Well, there's a lot in that we read. "Truly, truly," the Lord said, "Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Do you notice a phrase that keeps repeating in what we just read? It's a very simple phrase, and it's repeated again and again. What is it? From heaven, the bread from heaven, the true bread from heaven, the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You know, the manna came at night, and when they went, there it was. And the Lord Jesus has fed these people with bread, and I'm sure they don't know where it came from. And what about him? Do they know where he came from? He's telling them that he is not an ordinary man who was simply born into the world, whose life began at that time. But he is from heaven. And we are, I think, we should be familiar with that. And he's saying that he gives life to the world, and this is something that again and again we're going to see in John's Gospel. Because remember that verse right at the end of John's Gospel where he says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, and that by believing you may find life through his name. And that life is eternal. That life is the uncreated life, the life of God shared with you. That's the life that he's speaking about. It's not life in the sense of having fun, but it's life that is eternal, a different life, a beautiful and glorious life. So they said, as we know, "Sir, give us this bread always." But their minds were still thinking free food. But the Lord's answer is, "I am the bread of life." They didn't understand, but he was not leaving them. He was still speaking to them and still wanting them to understand. "I am the bread of life." This is the first of the seven great I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. And then he said, "You have not believed." And he said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." What is this? This is another parallel statement. Two statements saying the same thing differently. "All that the Father gives me will come to me." This means that if you've come to Christ, if you've believed in him, you've believed in him because God the Father willed it, and that he gave you to his Son. That's a difficult thought for many people. But put aside the difficulty for a moment and think how comforting that is, how wonderful that is, how that assures you that you are the Lord's forever and cannot be separated from him. But there are parallel statements. What's the second statement? The second statement, "Whoever comes to me, called by the gospel that's preached to the whole world, the gospel that says, that invites you to believe in the Lord Jesus and to come to him, and to which you must respond. Nobody can respond for you. God is not going to make you into a puppet or a clone or a robot. You must choose. So we have this glorious, profound statement from the Lord Jesus in one sentence, speaking two great things. One is that we are chosen by the Father, and the other is that we are called by the gospel to believe. Which of those statements is true? Both of them. Which is the main statement? Neither of them. They're equal. Both of these things are proclaimed throughout the scripture, and both of them are true. Can we understand it? Not so easily. Perhaps not at all. Can we believe it? Absolutely we can. Because this is the word of God. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." There is nobody who has said, "Oh, I want to believe, but I'm not chosen." If anybody wants to believe, the Lord says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. We are called by the gospel. We have to respond. We have to take action. We have to answer this call. I remember Billy Graham talking once about going to the airport, and he's waiting for his plane. And while he's waiting, he meets a friend, and he's talking to the friend, and they're having a good conversation. And then the call comes that his flight is boarding. And he thinks, I've got time. And he keeps the conversation going, and he continues to talk to his friend. And the final call comes that this flight is about to leave. Please board. But he's still enjoying the conversation, and he keeps talking. He intends to board the plane, but he's enjoying the conversation. And the gate closes and the plane departs. He didn't say, I refuse to get on that plane. He just didn't answer the call and respond to the call when he heard it. And because of that, he missed the plane. It's a simple picture, isn't it? This is the gospel call. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus said. Come. We hear the call. We must respond. Well, the Lord says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I have come down from heaven, that phrase again. And he said, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. There's assurance. I will lose nothing. This is God's will. And then the Lord said, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What can you see? Once again, you can see parallel statements. All that the Father has given me, I will lose none. Whoever looks on the Son and believes in him, turns his attention to the Son, hears the call and turns. That's what repentance is. It's turning. And believes in him, should have eternal life, and I will raise him up. The same words, I will raise him up at the last day. Well, these are profound thoughts. Let us keep reading. We're reading now from verse 41 through to 59. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How now does he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Till Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Well, I think we've read what is probably some of the most difficult words in John's Gospel, difficult for us to receive and hear, hard to understand. But he's saying that he is the true bread. The Jews grumbled among themselves. Because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And he said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" How does he now say, "I came down from heaven"? How could he have come down from heaven? We know his father and mother. So difficult to understand, but we understand because we've read John's Gospel. And we've read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That one became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So the Lord answers them, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Have you come to him? If I asked you, "Are you Christ? Have you believed? Have you come to him?" your hand would shoot up straight away. "Yes, that's me." Well, that's true that you've come to him because the Father, God the Father, has drawn you to him. He chose you. He wanted you. He called you. And the Lord says, "I will raise that one up on the last day." It is written in the prophets, he said, "and they will all be taught of God." And he's quoting from Isaiah 54:13. All your children, it's speaking to the Jewish people and speaking of a future time, saying all your children will be taught by the Lord. And then it goes on and says, "and great will be the peace of your children." Because when God teaches them, he's going to turn them to his Son, and in his Son they will find everlasting peace. And the Lord said, "Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Is that you? Very comforting words. "Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father." And he's speaking about himself, of course, because he is the one who's come down from heaven. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." He has, not will receive, but he has eternal life now. That life sealed in you by the Holy Spirit, life in your spirit, a life that you have to learn to live by, to live out. This is the salvation that we've received. This is the new birth. You have eternal life. And do you see parallel statements here? No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Whoever believes. There's the gospel call again. Whoever believes. He's responded. He's heard the message. And he's answered and said, I believe. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Will we die physically? Yes. But the Lord said we'd never see death. And then it was expressed, we'll never taste death. I don't know what it's like to die. I've seen many people die. I know of many people who've died. I've seen several dying. I don't know what that experience is, but the Lord said, we shall not taste death. I am the living bread. That might sound strange, but as we said before, what if the Lord said, I am living rice? Would you eat it? Something so different. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The food that we eat maintains our life, but this food goes beyond that. It gives life. And the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. And we know what he's speaking about. He's speaking about himself as the one who has become flesh. The Word became flesh. He took upon himself a human nature. He is incarnate, which, if you know your Latin, means in the flesh, in the body. He is the one who has come to give his life, to give this life that we might live. This is how he is going to bring us life. And so the Lord speaks more. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Not this life. You have the heartbeat life, but you don't have this life, this eternal life. But the Lord uses this expression, eat the flesh, drink the blood. Goodness. These were Jewish people. Of course they didn't eat human flesh, but they had a specific commandment, you shall not drink blood. I know some people drink blood. I know in the Philippines we were offered, thankfully, it was talked about blood soup. I didn't want any of that. But the Jews are absolutely clear. So when the Lord said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, this was going to shock them more than it would shock us. But the Lord still said it and didn't withdraw from it and didn't apologize for saying something. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. It's like he's saying that the food that we eat day by day is a parable. It's a picture. It's not the real thing. Because the real food is food that gives eternal life and maintains that life. Food as a picture. Natural food is good for natural life, essential for natural life. But the true food is essential for eternal life that is spiritual. And we know that our food, the food that we eat day by day, all comes from life, doesn't it? That's why we give thanks when we eat. We give thanks because we can't create life. God is sustaining even our natural life because he is the one who creates life that feeds us. We can cook, but we can't create life. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Now we've heard these words of the Lord about feeding upon him, and we kind of pull back at that and say that sounds horrible. But then he says, if you feed on me, you have eternal life. So our response should be, well, I want eternal life. I need to know what it means to feed upon him. Why is he speaking like this? And he's saying, he's giving us an understanding now. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood abides in me and I in him. So there's a relationship there. But it's not a normal relationship, because it says, he is in me and I am in him. Then he says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. My relationship with the Father, he's saying, is one where I am living because of him. If you feed on me, you will live because of me. We will be in this relationship, a relationship of shared life. When we read about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, some people immediately think of the Lord's table and they think of the bread and the cup. Is the Lord speaking about this? No, he's not. Not at all. But is this speaking about what he is speaking about? Yes, it is. In other words, the Lord has spoken in this manner, saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And when we come to the Lord's table, we eat the bread and we drink from the cup, because it's speaking about the same thing. He is not referring to the table, but the table is speaking of him and speaking of the relationship that we are called to. We don't come out and look at the bread. We don't come out and just look at the cup. We eat, we drink. And as we eat that bread, it becomes part of us. It enters us. It becomes part of us. And just like our food becomes us, what we are physically, that's the message in eating that bread and drinking from that cup. We are partaking deeply because the Lord lives within us and we are in him. This is the profound message here. It's a relationship which is not of this world. Relationships of this world are, I am with you. I can be with you. But this relationship, I am in you and you in me, that is not of this world. That is a spiritual relationship. That is the relationship that the Lord Jesus said, he has with his Father. My Father dwells in me and I in him. And he's saying the same thing concerning us and him. That's salvation. That's being brought into union with him, sharing his life. What a salvation. Let us keep reading the last section. From verse 60 of John chapter 6. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." But Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted him by my Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Well, it is a hard saying. And the Lord knew it was a hard saying. And he said, "Do you take offense at this? What then if you were to see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Would that offend you? Does it offend you that Jesus is not a cool guy and a reformer and an activist and an influencer, but that he is from heaven? And that the words that he speaks are not of this world, but greater and higher and richer and deeper and more valuable. Does it offend you that he has come down from heaven?" That's what he's saying. It is the Spirit who gives life. He must be our teacher. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. And we take note of that, the words that I spoke to you and the words that he continued to speak and the word that's recorded in the scripture for us, the words from God. This word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. This is the word which is the word of the gospel. It's the word that we hear and believe in the beginning, but it's the word also that is to guide us throughout. The words that I speak to you are not ordinary words, but they are spirit and they are life, if you believe. So many people turned away and said, "Enough, enough. This is crazy. I can't understand this. I'm not going anymore. I'm giving up." So the Lord said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" They were free to go. And Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." His word, he calls it the words of eternal life. His word, through faith in it, leads to eternal life. Believe the word of God. Don't stand back, critical, judging it, making it submit to your wisdom, but rather believe God and seek the Spirit to be your teacher. And when he said you're the Holy One of God, it means you're the Messiah. You're the sent one. You're the anointed one. You are the one that we've been waiting for 2,000 years. To whom shall we go? I've heard believers say this so many times. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When things get difficult for a Christian, when they're hard to understand, when things happen that they can't explain, etc., etc., will you go away? And this is usually the answer. To whom shall we go? Here is eternal life. There's nowhere else. Well, something to store away, something to remember. Do you think in a couple of weeks you'll remember? All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. This is the word of the Lord. It's not John 6:35, it's John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. His forever. What a comfort, what a joy, what a privilege. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would help us to understand these difficult sayings, and you would teach us by your Spirit so that we enter into more and more of this profound relationship and share in the joy of it all. We bless your holy, precious name. In Jesus' name, amen.